Good morning. We're in red, even though white is the color for the 12 days of Christmas. We're in red because it's the feast of St. Stephen's. And so like the song King Wenceslas happened on St. Stephen's Day, the feast of St. Stephen's. And so from the John passage, I wanted to say some things about St. Stephen that have ministered to me. This is, let me read again what Father Bracken read from John chapter 5. He says, "For just as the Father raises the dead and gives him life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. For not even the Father judges anyone." That's a powerful statement. "But he has given all judgment to his Son." Now think about that. He said, "For not even the Father judges anyone, but he's given all judgment to his Son." So what did Jesus do with that kind of authority? He became us and took all of our judgment on himself. See, the Father gave Jesus authority to judge. And what did Jesus do? He became our sin. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf. And so he took all judgment in himself. Because he said he didn't come to judge the world, but that through the world, through him, the world might be saved. And so Jesus came. I love the fact that the Father said he gave all the authority to Jesus and to judge. And Jesus said, "Well, what I'm going to do with the authority is I'll turn it on myself and take all the judgment on myself." So having said that, in Acts chapter 6, I want to share a few things about Stephen, because if that's what Christ did, then Christ's likeness should look like that, shouldn't it? Jesus took all judgment on himself. He says in Christ, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And he says in John chapter 3, those who don't believe have judged themselves. Jesus took all judgment away, but if you choose not to believe, then you're going to experience the judgment that Christ took that you didn't have to experience. This is some things it says about Stephen. It says, "Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Greeks who had become Jews, the non-Jewish Christians, against the native Hebrews, the Jewish Christians, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. And the 12, the apostles, summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables, but select from among you, brethren, 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we can put in charge of this task.'" It's interesting to me how in church, this is extra, how we just find whoever will do the job. But he says, this is the task of serving tables. And he said, "But I want you to put somebody in charge who's filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom." Every task that we give to anybody in our church, we should pray that God would raise up someone who's filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whether it's a Sunday school teacher or the person who helps clean the building or whatever. Amen? That's the spirit of revival. So we know that these people, these men, had to be filled with Spirit, full of wisdom. And it says, and the people that they chose, and the statement found approval with the whole congregation. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. So he had to be full of the Holy Spirit. He had to be full of wisdom. But he says also he was a man full of faith. Verse 8. "And Stephen, full of grace and power." So he's full of the Spirit. He's full of faith, he's full of wisdom, he's full of grace, and full of power. Now, grace didn't just mean he's walking by grace, it means he's living by grace, which means he's not just a grace receiver, he's a grace conveyor. And he was performing all kinds of great wonders and signs among the people. They took him before the Sanhedrin, the council. And it says in verse 10, "And yet they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit which he was speaking." And as they got people to bear false witnesses that he had said that he was against Moses, against the law, against all these things, because they wanted to have him put to death, because they were threatened by his life and his ministry. And as they had these false witnesses they brought against him, the question was asked. They said, "What do you say about these accusations?" And fixing their gaze on him, all who were sitting in the council saw his face like the face of an angel. Not the face of anger, not the face of frustration, not the face of fear, not the face of an attitude or bitterness or resentment, but he saw his face like the face of an angel. When people attack you, and I mean by that verbally, when they grouch at you, grump at you, whether you're in your home or in your place of work or out in the world, do they encounter the face of an angel or the face of anger, the face of defensiveness, the face of wanting to strike back? See, this is a man full of the Holy Spirit, full of grace, full of faith, full of wisdom. One of the consequences of a spirit-filled life is this kind of response to people mistreating you. So Stephen begins to sort of give a teaching to them, and he tells them all about Israel's history. And basically, he's telling them about how Israel's blown it and how they were accusing him of, wanting to defile Moses and reject the law of Moses. And yet he tells a story about how Israel rejected Moses and this all kinds of stuff. So it's a sort of a long message that he does. It's really fun to read. His history of Israel, it's really remarkable. And then when he gets towards the end of it, it says, "And which one of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? They killed those who had previously announced the coming of the Messiah, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become." Angels aren't very fearful. He had the face of an angel. And when you received the law as ordained by angels, and yet you did not keep it. And when they heard all this, they were cut to the quick. Till they began gnashing their teeth at him. I don't know what that means, but I don't think it's good. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the angel of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears, and they rushed upon him with one impulse. When they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him, and the witnesses laid their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul, which of course became Paul. And they went on stoning Stephen as he called upon the Lord and said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling on his knees, he's going to say something very familiar. Falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord," loud voice, why? Just because he was in pain? I think because he wanted them to hear it. "Lord, do not hold this sin against him." And having said this, he fell asleep. Now, Stephen's qualification to be, many people think these men were the first deacons, but whatever they were, his task was a very menial task, is help make sure they're serving the tables without getting into arguments with each other. And yet it was required that he was a person continually filled with the Holy Spirit, not just have a testimony that I got filled with the Holy Spirit years ago and received a prayer language, but he was being continually filled with the Spirit, a man of faith, a man of grace, a man of power. He moved in signs and wonders. That's pretty cool. That's Christ-like, right? But the most Christ-like thing that he did is that when they were accusing him and lying about him and then say, "What is your answer to all these accusations?" They said that his face, when they looked intently at his face was the face of an angel. And then when they're stoning him to death, his focus was not on them and what they were doing. He was looking in heaven. But when they were stoning him to death, the last thing he said, Jesus said, what from the cross? "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And Stephen said, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Same thing. Why? How? Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. If you grump at me, or if I do something that you don't think is right, and you grump and grouch at me, and speak your mind, one thing I know is you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, because you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit and do that. Like I said last night, one of the things the Lord told me, he says, "Chuck, I don't really like it when you speak your mind. I'd much rather you speak my mind, because it always carries grace. They'll encounter the face of an angel instead of the face of the devil." So how was he able to do what he did? He forgave them. They were stoning him to death. That hurt really bad. I mean, I've been hit by a rock before. That hurt. But they were stoning him to death, so it hurt really bad. It didn't happen. It didn't die. It didn't happen in a moment. These were people who were really mean to him, lied to him. All he was doing was serving the Lord. Lied to him, lied about him, gnashing their teeth at him, stoning him to death. And yet, because he was filled with the Holy Spirit, remember what it says about the Holy Spirit in Romans 8. He's referred to as the Spirit of Jesus. Now, the Holy Spirit is a person, the Godhead, but the Holy Spirit's comes and makes Jesus real in us. And so it was his union with Christ. It was because he was at one with Jesus. And from Jesus, he was saying, Lord, do not hold this sin against sin. Isn't that interesting? Because we want to hold everybody's sin against us. Don't we? We do. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. I don't know about you, but I'm always in need of mercy. And so I love this. I love this scripture. I remember years ago when I finally figured out about this whole forgiveness thing, because I read a lot of stuff. I taught things about forgiveness, how to forgive. This is what you do, yada, yada, yada. But the scripture talks about forgiving from your heart. I mean, Jesus really meant it when he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He really means it. His face is like the face of an angel. And he says, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Because he was says in verse, and being filled with the Holy Spirit, well, even while they were gnashing their teeth at him. When the Lord was talking to me one day, and there was some situation and a while back, and I said, and the Lord said, I want you to understand, I've already made this decision for us. I forgave them 2,000 years ago. Would you like to join me since I'm your life? And it just took all the sting and all the choice out. You hear me? Because that's the life that Jesus lives. And so if we're going to experience this life that Jesus lives, if we're going to know the Spirit-filled life, we can't grieve the Holy Spirit by being rude, being ugly, being defensive, making excuses for our attitude, making sure we want to point out everybody's sin. Have you ever done that? Stephen was a foot washer, not a dirt inspector. And so I love St. Stephen, because most of the time people think about St. Stephen, they talk about him being one of the first deacons, now he moved in signs and wonders, because that's so charismatic. But I'll tell you what's even more supernatural, the moving in signs and wonders, is when people treat you like this, and what they see is a face full of, like an angel, full of grace, and they encounter a heart that's always going, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Who's walking in the disposition of not giving in to unforgiveness, but loving them even more. Does that mean that we never hold anybody accountable? No, it doesn't mean that. But we do that in love, the same way Jesus holds you accountable. Because being filled with the Holy Spirit means that we speak into people's lives, calling forth the new creation, not rebuking them in anger or frustration, always speaking the mind of Christ to them. And so thank God for St. Stephen. Amen. A great example of a brother in Christ who knew what it was to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay. Well, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.